With us now on The Full Story is Oz Griebel, independent candidate for governor of Connecticut, running on the Griebel-Frank for Connecticut party line. Mr. Griebel, welcome to you.
It's a pleasure to be there, and just so that your listeners know, it's line 1H, the bottom line on the ballot on Tuesday.
You've mentioned that a few times in a few of the debates. All right, let's start off with our first question, and I'm sure you know what it is.
Yeah.
Connecticut is going to have a multi-billion dollar budget deficit the next two
right.
fiscal years. Will you raise
right.
or impose a new tax or impose any type of toll to balance the budget?
Yeah, obviously, this when somebody gives you 30 seconds to answer how you're going to do this, it's always a little amusing. But let me just say that we believe the two things we need to avoid doing in this biennium budget is not raise taxes or identify establish new ones and avoid draconian cuts to services. $4.6 billion operating deficit is a serious matter. And we've said what we will take the rainy day fund in its entirety, projected to be at $2 billion. To reduce that projected deficit by about 40%, and then look at every line item that we don't have to fund in 2000 in that biennium, and postpone the two big items would be postponing the contribution to the state retiree and teacher retiree funds, which is counterintuitive to the unfunded liability issue. There are legal issues associated with it, but we have to be able to avoid increasing taxes, which would send absolutely the wrong signal to residents and to employers, and we have to avoid draconian cuts that could wind up with layoffs in our municipalities. We cut municipal aid more dramatically than we have. I think you put at risk the potential for laying off teachers, firefighters, and police officers. This is a big issue that needs a lot of people working together so that we don't go down the path of either the tax increases or the draconian cuts.
According to most polls, health care, a top priority for all Americans.
Right.
Are you in favor of the Affordable Care Act?
Generally speaking, but the more important thing, Ron, that I like we emphasize is that Connecticut's one of our biggest asset bases here is our health sector. Our three medical schools, dental school, five major health insurers that are headquartered or have major operations here, the hospital systems, the investment we're making in research at Yale, at Smilow Cancer Center, at Yale New Haven Hospital, at UConn Research and Genomics, at Jackson Labs. This is an extraordinary asset base. And what I've recommended is that we would take something I did at the Metro Hartford Alliance and reestablish something called the Connecticut Health Council, where we bring those assets together. And our goal has to be to provide the most affordable, accessible, highest quality health care to every resident and turn that into a competitive advantage so that employers want to be here because we're achieving that goal. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a certain amount of give and take on this, and I believe, but only a governor can bring the right parties together to move in that direction. So we want to take advantage of this asset base, as I said earlier, and turn it into a true competitive advantage.
Oz Griebel, you're on a train right now, so give me one thing,
yes.
just one, that you would do right away to make our transportation system better as soon as you become governor.
Reestablish the Connecticut Transportation Strategy Board, bringing the private sector together, and I will chair that. To me, that you've got to get the private sector involved in this process across the board. So that's what we would do on day one.
You know that Connecticut has suffered for years with education inequality. How are you going to fix it?
Right. It's, again, one of those 30-second questions that you're not going to get a satisfactory answer to. It's one of the most complicated issues that we have. There are moral issues associated with it. So the idea, and there's also an economic issue. If we don't have an educated workforce here, we're not going to keep the employers who are here. So these things are all integrated, everything from how we're going to ensure that a child reads at grade level by third grade all the way out to the Second Chance program when someone who has been incarcerated has a chance to come back and be a contributing member of society. So these things go across the board. The fiscal issue I would say to you is this, that we've got to look at regional delivery of municipal services, and that includes the police, fire, and education. It's going to require a lot of negotiation. It'll probably take us the next 8 to 10 years to get it established, but that has to be a goal so that the taxes we're paying, state taxes and property taxes in the municipalities, that those dollars are going into the classroom and not to maintaining multiple administrative overheads.
I'm sure you either read or you saw that UN report. It came out a few weeks back, and some people have already forgotten about it. It says that we basically have 10 to 12 years to make major changes. Otherwise, global warming is going to have a profound impact on all of us.
Right.
Do you believe the report? And as governor, what are you going to do to help change this?
Right. Well, I have not read the report. I've read the headlines and the summaries. How much of the report is accurate or political, I don't know. But we know we've got rising sea levels along our shoreline, along the rest of the coastlines as well. But we know that's an issue. We know that you've got severe storms that have impacted Connecticut, the rest of the country, and the rest of the world. So whatever you attribute it to, we know we have issues. The great thing about Connecticut, and again, trying to make lemonade out of lemons, we've got two major property and casualty insurance companies here, the Hartford and Travelers, along with a number of major reinsurers. Many of them have institutes that are researching this. The idea of figuring out when the next storm comes, are we going to rebuild along the coastline the same way? I think we have to have discussions about how we use FEMA money and our own state money, as well as the policies for rebuilding, is going to be a part of this. Part of this discussion. At the same time, we've got significant assets here in the state where we should be able to resolve we should be able to leverage the things like Avery Point at UConn, the research that's going on in places like fuel cells in the wind system, the solar panel industry that's beginning to flourish here. Those things all have to be part of the discussion, so we have more access to renewable resources. We have more distributed energy, so we're not solely reliant on a major infrastructure with the two major utility companies. Those things have to be part of this discussion. Not raiding the Green Bank, which was established in part to incent private sector investment in the renewables. All those have to be part of this discussion, so that we not only address the issues in Connecticut, but we move Connecticut to the top of the house as being the place where we've got the intellectual capital to solve these issues for the rest of the country and indeed the rest of the world.
Folks, you have to love real-time radio. Oz Griebel, are you in favor of raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour?
Not by July 1st. I think it's the kind of thing you have to look at over a period of time in terms of phasing it in. I think mandating a $15 hour minimum wage is going to have a devastating effect on some of our smaller businesses, restaurants, and the like. And therefore, it's going to, I think, will wind up with people losing jobs in the short term. Well, I think moving it up to $15 over time makes sense. But the real question is getting a livable wage, not a minimum wage. And that's where our position about creating 200,000 more jobs or securing 200,000 more jobs in the next 10 years in the private sector at wages higher than the minimum wage is the goal. And that's what every decision we make, that'll be the primary criteria that will apply to whether we go down one path or the other.
As we've been talking about, Connecticut's fiscal situation is a mess. In
yes.
2017, Colorado made almost $250 million in taxes and fees
right.
from the sale of recreational
right.
and medical marijuana. So with that in mind,
right.
do you support legalizing recreational marijuana here in Connecticut?
It's a practical matter. We have to deal with it because we're going to be surrounded by states that have legalized it, Massachusetts obviously being the one that's right across the northern border. But I want to emphasize that we have to be sure that we understand the safety issues. I want to make sure I understand better, for example, what the age of purchase should be. Should it be the same as alcohol? Should it be 21? We need to understand, as you know, in Colorado, there's been a significant increase in motor vehicle accidents and violations, at least attributed in part to the recreational use. We need to understand how we're protecting the public when we do this, much like we have the DUI laws. Related to alcohol, and yet the technology to detect that is different for cannabis than it is for alcohol. And then most importantly, on the thing I want to emphasize to listeners is we would not legalize marijuana to get the revenue just to put into the general fund. We would look to allocate that revenue, those tax dollars for the sale, to support agencies and organizations that deal with substance abuse and mental health issues. Simply putting it into the general fund, to me, is ignoring what is a growing crisis in Connecticut and the rest of the country as it relates to things like opioid use and lack of treatment, sustainable treatment for those with mental health issues.
Oz Griebel, would you leave Connecticut's current gun laws as they are, or would you work for even more restrictions?
I would leave them. We would make sure that they're reinforced. The idea of, you know, making sure that those guns are not easily procured, or AK-47s, to the extent that those need to be added, that's where we are. But we respect the Second Amendment. We respect people's rights to own firearms for hunting, for protection, and for sport. But we do have an obligation to our ourselves to make sure we have a safe community. So in addition to making sure that the laws that are on the books today stay there, we would also start working with other governors on a more sustained basis in the Northeast to make sure that the laws that are on the books regarding background checks and the like are consistent, because right now you've got different states go at this differently. So the fact that our background checks, for example, are more stringent, if you will, but someone can go across state lines in a state with less strict governing background check requirements and be able to buy weapons there and bring them back into the state. If the federal government is going to continue to ignore this issue, Congress and the president, then we as governors have to work together, particularly here in the Northeast, to make sure we have consistency so that people have the right, that their right to bear arms is fully recognized and supported, yet at the same time actions to ensure a safe community.
Oz Griebel, one last question, please. If you were a U.S. senator, would you have voted to confirm Brett Kavanaugh?
I would not have, but I will tell you this. That was that whole hearing, and by the way, the decision not to have a hearing on President Obama's nominee back in the year before, to me just epitomizes the political partisan gridlock we have in this country and that I believe we have in the state, and that's why Monty Frank and I are running. He is a former Democrat. We register as an unaffiliated voter. I am a former Republican. We register as an unaffiliated voter. Only an independent ticket can bring the moderates in both parties together, along with the private sector, to focus on job growth and to return Connecticut to national preeminence on all these issues. That's the goal of this campaign. It's the goal of our administration, and we look forward to working with everyone starting on November 7th.
Oz Griebel is the independent candidate for governor of Connecticut, running on the Griebel Frank for Connecticut party line. Mr. Griebel, thank you, sir.
Great, thank you. Vote the bottom line on Tuesday. Thanks very much.
And we're back live in the studio. And with me now, WSHU's Ebang Udama, our chief political reporter, and also Ken Dixon, who's a columnist, state capitol reporter for Hearst Newspapers. Ken, thanks for being here. What's your reaction to Bob Stefanowski, the Stefanowski campaign, saying we can't make him available to talk with you?
Well, listening to the two interviews you just did, I wrote down the word under Bob's name, Trojan horse, with a question mark on it, because no one really knows how he stands on a bunch of those issues. He's got that high rating from the NRA. To the best of my knowledge, no one in Connecticut outside of maybe the National Shooting Sports Foundation is clamoring for more relaxed gun laws. He talks about regionalism and he says his town of Madison has a AAA bond rating. It's like, well, if every town in Connecticut had a AAA bond rating, they'd be pretty white and pretty moneyed. The use of the Rainy Day Fund is pretty interesting for a guy who thinks that he's a builder and he's going to remake state government. I mean, I could just go down the list here. I mean, the ACA, Bob's not really interested in the ACA. He hasn't talked about it. There are 114,000 people in Connecticut who have health benefits through the ACA. And Ned's made himself available. Bob hasn't. Bob's front-loaded his campaign. He stood the traditional convention primary on his head. He's won, and he's on the cusp of becoming the next governor, and no one knows a whole lot besides cutting taxes, and Ned Lamont is Dan Malloy.
Hey, Bob, can you fault the strategy, though? Just a short time ago, he was, according to the polls, a few points behind. According to the latest Sacred Heart Hearst poll that came out the other day, he's 2 points up.
Well, according to the Quinnipiac poll as well, he's closed the gap. So something's working for him as far as he's concerned. I actually got to speak with Bob Stefanowski on Saturday, and he seemed pretty confident that he has a good strategy and that he is going to win this race. As a matter of fact, today we have Lamont campaigning all over the state, all day, right through tonight, and Stefanowski hardly has any activities today. He says, I tried to find out from his team what he was doing, and they came back to me saying that Bob is going to do TV and radio stations this morning. Well, he didn't do ours, but He did a couple of stations, and then he'll have lunch with some campaign workers at 1:30, and then he'd have a Facebook town hall meeting at 4 o'clock tonight. So very light activity. So you start to wonder, what is actually going on here? What's the strategy? And I think it is he's trying to limit his exposure heading into this, because it seems that that has worked for him all along.
Mm-hmm. We have a short clip from Bob Stefanowski, which we'd like to play for you now. During the last debate, he spoke about going to the Puerto Rican Day Parade in Bridgeport. And people, he said, ran up to him saying they were going to vote for him.
When I explained to them that we're going to cut the corporate tax rate and that's going to get companies to come back to Connecticut, when I explained to them that we're going to invest more in education, in trade schools, in businesses, and when I explained to them that, yes, over 8 years, we'll gradually eliminate that state income tax and the people that are working will have more take-home pay to invest in education, they said, thank goodness somebody finally has some common sense. When I told them that we weren't going to raid the special transportation fund anymore, we were going to actually use that money to improve the train times and fix our roads and bridges. We can go on forever and ever about what to do to fix the cities, but the best way to fix this entire state is economic growth.
Ken Dixon, are people just hearing taxes, taxes, taxes? I'm going to cut your taxes. Is that what they want to hear?
If he wins, that's it. That, in a nutshell, he is dined out on that one trip to Bridgeport. I'll tell you how many for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I don't believe that people were coming up to him and like getting deep into the state economy. Call me crazy. He talks about fixing the roads, public-private partnerships, but no tolls. But as an investor, he invested in all kinds of toll roads in India. That was his professional background, which they don't like us reporting because his handlers want to present a blank slate. And in our editorial board at Hearst, he used the Alligator Alley in Florida as an example of a good private partnership on roads. That is also a toll road.
Hey, Bang, what are you hearing from voters? You're out there talking to people all the time.
Well, you see, the thing is that when you go to a Bob Stefanowski event, those are true believers. And they love the fact that he's going to cut taxes. That is all they want to hear. It doesn't go beyond that. And he seems to be milking it for everything he can get and staying away from elaborating on anything else.
Ebon Gudama, WSHU's chief political reporter, Ken Dixon, columnist, state capitol reporter for Hearst Newspapers. Guys, thank you. I appreciate it. And over the next few days, I know that you're going to be with us again. And I'm sorry this was so short.
Well, congratulations on your first show.
Thank you. Thank
Thanks,
you, Ken.
Thanks a lot.
All right, this is The Full Story. We'll be right back.